All right, I don't know if I have to be careful here in referring to Mike Kliss, and I've always known him as Mike Kliss. But do you have a Mike and Michael thing going on, Mike? Because I do want to be careful, because we've been talking a lot about Michael Malone, and I even catch myself from time to time calling him Mike, and I know that's a faux pas. So in your case, I think I'm safe with Mike. In all seriousness, we had Cecil Lammy on yesterday, and he talked about standing next to you on the practice field the other day. And hearing you, of all people, the ultimate Bronco insider, say, more or less, what the heck's going on with Drew Lock? So my question to you, having asked the question yourself, have you divined an answer? What is, if anything, going on or going wrong with Drew Lock?
By the way, you can call me Kliss if you want to.
Kliss, hey!
That's an added bonus.
You know, for one thing, he did have blisters on his hand, which, you know, I saw him kind of looking at it from time to time, and I asked Fangio about it, and he divulged that he had blisters. Wasn't sure how it affected him. It's taped up, you know, the blisters are taped up, and it, you know, there are a lot of throws where I don't think it bothered him. But what I see, and, you know, we haven't talked to Drew about this. We talked to him really the opening of OTAs, and it was the first practice for Teddy Bridgewater, and it was a very light you know, I can't even remember if they went 7-on-7. Maybe they did, but Drew was the better of the two quarterbacks then, and so we couldn't really ask him what the deal is. What it looks like to me is that he's trying to really obey what the coaches are telling him. You know, you can't do this anymore. You can't do that. You've got to do this. You've got to read the progressions. You've got to check down. You've got to take the shorter route, and he doesn't look comfortable doing it. Either that, or he's pressing. You know, we were trying to think of, is this the first time Drew Lock's really been in a competition? You know, his senior year, or his rookie year, he knew he was supposed to redshirt behind Joe Flacco. He wound up jumping in there about three games earlier than they thought at the end of 19. You go back to his freshman year. He started. He was a four-year starter at Missouri. You go back to his freshman year. Again, he was supposed to just be the backup, if not redshirt. And the starting quarterback got kicked off the team. And, you know, he was thrust into the starting role, ready or not, as a freshman. So it's probably been since, I don't know, his sophomore year in high school, since he's been in a competition.
Yes.
And while he says he welcomes the competition, maybe it's playing some mind games on him and he's pressing just a little bit. So, but Drew Lock has not, you know, everyone was looking for Drew Lock to take a step up. And right now, he's had some of the tougher practices that I've seen.
Mike, everybody keeps on talking about Aaron Rodgers, but we saw the podcast yesterday. Kareem Jackson has been campaigning for Deshaun Watson this whole offseason. Yesterday, on the Keep to Leave, Catching Fades, you know, and I love that podcast name, Mike, Keep to Leave.
But, that's a must-listen podcast.
He doubled down, you know, talking about Deshaun Watson, telling him that the Broncos is where he wants to be. What do you think about the comments, and do you think that the Broncos will now look at that in any light, or it's still all about Aaron Rodgers and trying to get Aaron Rodgers here with the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, I think, you know, that Deshaun, it would be interesting. The quarterback competition could go from Lock and Bridgewater to Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. Wouldn't that be something? Boy, would that be something? Deshaun Watson, and you know, we kind of hear that Aaron Rodgers wants to play for the Broncos, too. It's really interesting that these guys look, from the outside looking in, they see a good team. They see a good roster with some talented young receivers in skill positions, but they just need a quarterback, and they believe that they can be the, you know, the savior here for this team. and maybe they can be. But Deshaun Watson is just so far away from being available. You know, that's he doesn't want to play for the Houston Texans, but the question is, will he play at all? Those are very, very serious allegations filed against him. And I don't think anybody wants to touch Deshaun Watson right now. Any NFL team, I don't think, would trade for him. You know, even the Houston Texans can't put him on the field. Even if Deshaun showed up, I'm not sure the Houston Texans can put him on the field. The NFL might have to become involved here and put him on an exempt list until serious. I think if he did show up, the NFL would act and put him on an exempt list until these serious allegations are dealt with. But the problem is, I don't think they're supposed to be heard, this civil trial, all these lawsuits against them, until February or March of next year. So that would knock him out. And just knowing the Broncos and knowing Joe Ellis, boy, there's no way they would bring in Deshaun Watson until this is satisfactorily resolved.
Well said. My last one, Mike, for you today. I'm listening to Vaughn Miller. And when I listen to Vaughn Miller, perhaps understandably during the season last year, especially on with a couple of our colleagues, his mood seemed rather sour. I now listen to him, including a chance here live on the air yesterday to hear from Vaughn Miller. And he sounds positively ebullient, so excited. Yeah. He's back to being the old Vaughn, joking around, giving us a little bit of insight yesterday, saying at one point, Peyton Manning saved my career. You know, I'm sure he gives DeMarcus Ware his share of credit, but I thought he singled out Manning yesterday and said he taught me how to be a leader, taught me so much about being a player and what my responsibility was. Here's a guy, now I don't know physically if he's going to be the Vaughn Miller of 15 or 16 ever again, but it seems psychologically he's back to that good place.
Yeah, and that's how Vaughn rolls, you know. I think when he was upset earlier, it was about a pay cut. And if you remember, George Payton, to bring Vaughn back, first tried to get Vaughn back on a pay cut. And Vaughn said no. At that point, you know, there was it seemed like a real good chance Vaughn had played his last snap for the Broncos at the end of the 19 season, since he didn't play last year. But Vaughn called his bluff, George Payton's bluff, and George Payton did go into free agency looking for pass rushers. But if you remember, that's the one position that got paid this offseason, especially they liked Leonard Floyd. When he got $16.5 million from the Rams, they kind of looked at it as, well, what difference? I'd rather pay Vaughn Miller $18 million than Leonard Floyd $16.5 million.
Sure.
So now that's $19 million with the 17th game. But still, once Vaughn came back, Vaughn, you know, did readjust mentally. And he's done that throughout his career. The one thing about Vaughn, he's had some troubles off the field. But and when he was talking about Peyton Manning, if you remember, it was 2013 that Vaughn had all kinds of problems off the field. He was suspended six games. He had a bunch of speeding tickets he didn't show up in court for, and it led to a bunch of embarrassing warrants.
And the ACL as well?
Yeah, what's that?
The ACL as well against Houston.
Yeah, that came after he came back. But
right.
You know, I was referring, Big O, just to he wasn't being responsible. He wasn't taking care of business.
Right.
He didn't realize that it all is part of the package. What you do off the field matters. It is tied and correlates to how you perform on the field. You know, to some extent. And as he went through all that, Peyton was there. And you know, I think Peyton, you know, when a guy like Peyton Manning supports, you know, he never threw a dig at Vaughn Miller for all the problems he had. And, you know, Peyton Manning was later rewarded because he got the ride off in the sunset in 2015 with a Super Bowl title, thanks largely to Von Miller. And Peyton has said that. You know, Peyton didn't play well in that Super Bowl 50. Von Miller was terrific and won the game for the Broncos. So I think there's a great appreciation level for Von Miller with Peyton Manning. You know, when you're a great player and you're, you know, an icon like Peyton Manning was before he even walked into the Broncos locker room, anything you do carries great weight and influence with everyone in that locker room. Yeah. And it meant a lot to Vaughn, I think, that Peyton was there as Vaughn was going through so many difficult times off the field. And to Vaughn's credit, you know, he's been a great story of redemption. And he's had a heck of a career. And, you know, I think if he has one more good year here or two and moves a little bit more up that career sack list, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. He might already be there thanks to that Super Bowl and the regular season, but he's well on his way. Like to see him have one or two more Vaughn-like seasons before he's through.
Mike, before we let you run, yesterday when Brandon McManus was up there talking at Dove Valley, you asked him a question that pertains to the media. Could you just let our listeners know what's really going on as far as the media goes, as far as your guys' coverage and how you're going to have to cover the team as of right now, this year moving forward?
Yeah, right now, like last year, we were not allowed in the locker room because of COVID. You understood that. Now they have the vaccination. And, you know, there's the reporters that we want to get back in the locker room. We think it helps develop more stories, develop relationships, get greater insight. You're just not getting management say. We're restricted to just talking to these guys on Zoom in a gang. You know, there's 20 guys. There's no intimate conversations going on in that type of environment. And we want to get back in the locker room, but the union is not wanting us in because of COVID concerns. Our argument is, why should vaccinated reporters be not allowed in when unvaccinated players are? And yeah. But right now the union is balking at that. And McManus, he said this is the first he's heard about it, which I was surprised. Yeah. If that's true.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe. And then secondly, to his credit, he said it's a good experience. He thinks it's good to have reporters in the locker room.
Oh, he's media friendly. He's a good guy.
Yes, yes, he is. And he thinks it's good for the rookies as part of their, you know, environment. So hopefully it gets worked out. But it looks like, guys, we're going to have a second year not in the locker room. And and hopefully next year it'll return to normal.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, our thanks,
as
always.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You got it. Yeah, hey, how many times did I come up and saddle up next to you, a big O, in the locker room, you know? We'd have never known each other.
A lot. You know? And you were trying to get me on record. A lot. And I kept on telling you, Mike, we're not going on record.
Always getting fined for doing a radio show on this station already. He didn't want to add to the fines.
Yeah, that's right.
Mike,
that's
Mike right. comes Bye, up guys. To you and just wants to chit chat. Yes, hey, how right. you doing? Yeah. And how was practice today? Yeah. He starts the conversation off very like
warms his way.
How's the family? What are you guys doing this weekend?
Yeah. Tricks of the trade, man.
Yeah, that's right. You're the master. Thanks, Mike.
All right. See
Good
you
stuff.
Guys.
As always, Mike Kliss, 9 News Broncos Insider. Again, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.